Hello. First of all, I would like to thanks to the committee for choosing this work for me presenting here today. And as she already introduced, we have studied how we can assess the water deficit stress tolerance of a common bean. And we have done this in collaboration, in a collaboration between the University of Missouri and the SIAT, the International Center of Tropical Agriculture. And it was an experiment that we performed during the year 2012 and 2013. And why we choose common bean? We choose common bean because it's the pulse or the dry bean most planted in the world, with a planted extension over 3 million of hectares, distributed mostly through Latin America and the east of South Africa. And why we have looked at drought stress? Because it is the most important factor affecting common bean yields in the regions where it's usually planted. You can see here where it's planted in South America or in Mexico, how in this graph you can see drought occurrence and intensity during the last 100 years, where in these plantation regions they always suffer drought during the growth season of the common bean. And this drought makes that the yield potential, that is usually between 4 to 6 tons per hectare, it never reached the mean yield in its country, never reached that yield potential. For example, if you see there, the mean yield for Latin America is between 600 to 900 kilograms per hectare. So a lot of important has been put into to research in other legumes, for example soybean, the drought effects and how we can find genotypes that they are more resistant to drought. But in common bean, these research efforts they have been very, very big. And one of the reasons is because breeding for this characteristic like drought tolerance is very difficult and very time consuming. For example, some traits that have been identified for drought tolerance in common beans, they are like roof death or escaping of the drought season, like advancing the maturity. But those traits usually are very labor intensive to record. For that, carbon isotope discrimination has been described to be very successful to predict yield, and to predict yield under not only irrigation or yield potential conditions, that as some publications before, like in the year, like in the 1990s years, have been proposed. Like most recently, like in 2003 or 2016, have been described that the correlation between the carbon discrimination and grain yield is maintained, is a positive relationship maintained in drought condition and in well water conditions. For example, here in the first table in the left, we can see how in two regions, two planting regions in Spain, northeast or southeast of Spain, how the grain yield varies and the carbon isotope varies, and they correlate. Being northeast of Spain, a region that is much humid and with mild temperatures, and the southeast of Spain being more dry, and you can see very clearly the correlation. This has been proven with much more data recently in a paper by Del Pozo and collaborators in 2016, where you can see like the correlation between yield and carbon isotope discrimination is very positively correlated. And in this experiment, 300 genotypes were tested in different environments, going through well water to medium drought stress to severe drought stress. And we can see how the carbon isotope discrimination and yield varies and increase very well, and how the correlation goes all the way between the three water treatments. But we can see that in the severe drought stress, the correlation in that case is negative. For that, our question was, we are going to find carbon isotope discrimination genotypic variation in the genotypes that they have been used in SEAD in common bean for breed for drought stress, because they have been working in this for 20 years, but they haven't checked if between their parental lines if they have genotypic variation in well water or in drought stress. And the other thing is that if there is genotypic variation, there is going to be correlation between carbon isotope discrimination and yield that allow us to predict the yield under both conditions. Here is the objectives that I already speak about. And for doing that, what we did is plant 14 common bean lines using at the SEAD breeding program. You can see enlisted there. And we grow them with two water treatments in rice-fed conditions and irrigated conditions, and replicated in four blocks. We use an experimental plot size of four rows with 3 meters of longitude each plot, and always whenever we did any measurement, we left the two inner rows intact for till determinations. You can see here the 14 lines, and they are red underlined, the genotypes that were chosen for their drought adaptation. As you can see, we choose some of the genotypes for the deep root or other kind of adaptations like early flowering or early maturity. When the plant reach mid-phosphylling, we perform leaf conductance measurements during the midday, early midday, midday, and after those measurements, the day after, etc., we harvest 0.5 meters of one of the lateral rows to measure canopy biomass that I'm not going to present here, but with that canopy biomass, we droughted and grinded and analyzed the carbon isotope discrimination of that material. And that's the one that the data that we are going to present the data and see if it correlated with the yield harvested at maturity. First of all, there was genotypic variation in the yield in these genotypes. Yeah, there was a genotypic effect in both years, and there was an effect of the irrigation. The irrigation decreased the yield in almost all genotypes, and if you see the genotypes in red, signal in red, these are the genotypes selected for the drought tolerance. You can see that under rain-fed conditions, the bars in black, the decrease was less in those genotypes than the genotypes that they were selected for yield under well water conditions. And what happened with the carbon isotope discrimination? There was genotypic variation. Yeah, there was genotypic variation in all the genotypes, and there was an effect of the irrigation, of course, that the irrigation decreased the carbon isotope discrimination, but at the same time there was an interaction between irrigation and genotype. What this means, or one thing that it can mean, is that we can't use carbon isotope discrimination to predict the carbon isotope discrimination in well water conditions compared to the drought conditions. But that will not matter, because you normally have to do the experiment in both ways. But before, it has been tried to assess the carbon isotope discrimination under drought condition only using the well water, so that will not be possible. And there is a correlation, so carbon isotope discrimination could be a good tool for predicting yield under well water or drought conditions. As you can see here, carbon isotope discrimination correlates positively with grain yield when the data are considered by year and not separating by irrigation treatment. The correlation are pretty good, but when you separate the data by irrigated or rainfed, you can see that there was no correlation in the well water treatment. That's kind of a surprising data, because in all the reference in wheat and in some common bean experiments, in well water conditions, there is usually a good correlation with yield. And I think that that might be done because we use genotypes that they are drought adapted to grow in the well water condition, it changes, because when later you see the data for rainfed, the positive correlation between carbon isotope discrimination and seed yield was positive. So we can see that carbon isotope discrimination can be a good tool for predicting yield under drought conditions. If we want to classify the genotypes for how efficient they are using water, if we remember that carbon isotope discrimination is usually negative correlated with the water use efficiency, we could classify the genotypes in two types. The ones that they produce more than the mean of the yield, and the ones that they have a carbon isotope discrimination more or less than the mean. Then it will mean genotypes that, in the right part of the graph, genotypes that they spend a lot of water, and in the left part, genotypes that they spend less water. For that, we could classify some genotypes as water spenders, producing more under drought but spending more water, or water savers in the left part of the graph that spend less water but produce more. And only very quick, we also test leaf conductance, and we saw genotypic difference. If you see in 2012, the difference between drought and irrigation is positive, but it doesn't make a lot of sense. For that reason, I think we took the measurements probably after a rain event or something, and for that there is no difference. But in 2013, you can see that there is a lot of difference between the irrigation and the rainfed treatment, and how the genotypes selected for their resistance to drought, they show lower conductance than the others. And that the carbon isotope discrimination showed, as it has been documented before, correlation with leaf conductance. And then for conclusions, we saw that there was genotypic difference in yield, carbon isotope discrimination, and leaf conductance in well water and in drought conditions. The significant interaction between the genotype and irrigation preclude the prediction of yield or CAD plants grown under rainfed conditions from the results obtained under irrigated conditions. Yield positively correlated with carbon isotope discrimination in both years when the irrigation treatment was not considered. And when the irrigation treatment were analyzed separately, only carbon isotope discrimination of plants were grown under rainfed conditions. The genotype selected for the drought tolerant produce greater yields under rainfed conditions than the others, and the carbon isotope discrimination is a useful tool to characterize the genotypic response to drought, but it can be used exclusively to this end. And thank you. I would like to thank to these people, that they were the people performing part of the experiment, and to my lab, Richie Lab, and to him for accepting me in his lab, and the rest of the people, in special Michael Mo, that he performed a lot of the measurements of this experiment.
Okay, we do have time for one question while I load the next presenter. So, are there any questions? Thank you very much.